You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray her. Then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Is a good day. My granddaddy used to say that, and I know exactly how he feels. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so thankful that you've joined us today, because our guest today is an amazing teacher of God's Word. He's an amazing ambassador for hope, and he's a terrific person. So would you please introduce yourself to us?
Wow, I am. At a loss for words after that. And I'm like, who is she talking about? this is Jacob King, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm just Jacob.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so happy that you're here. Wow. We've got some really interesting times we live in right now, and So I'm especially grateful that you're here, because I feel like God has really given you a message of how to survive and thrive and persevere, even during really perilous and challenging times. So I want to start with this. What's on your heart these days? What do you feel like is really just, you're passionate about it, you want other people to know?
Well, I've been reminded recently, that God has brought me through 100% of my worst days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some, like you said, these are perilous times. And we don't know, what's lurking around the corner. But we're reminded, by scripture. I think actually the word of today is coming from John chapter 16. I think it's verse 33, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. I give you my peace, for I've overcome the world. That's my paraphrase of it, but basically Jesus is letting us know that, there's going to be trouble that comes, but his peace is able to overcome any trouble that we, have, that we run into, that is lurking around the corner. And we can be confident in that, because he's already overcome the world.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that good word. Sometimes the world is your world. You're part of it, right? I mean, sometimes the world is what you're facing right now, what's happening in your house on that day. And so it's so wonderful that Jesus has covered it all, everything, right? Lord of all. So when you think about it, did you always feel this way? Were you always a person of tremendous faith, or have you grown in your faith journey?
I think it's a matter of, growth. If we are alive, It's our job to continue to grow, to continue to develop, to continue to mature, to continue to learn. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely been a process, as far as I'm concerned, that has, you know, allowed me to, you know, learn some things throughout my life to help me, you know, develop in faith and, you know, use those faith muscles, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
just like we use our physical muscles. In order to get stronger, you know, you got to use them.
Mm. Would you mind sharing with us perhaps an example of when you really got a workout for your faith?
Well, it happens, you know, as, you know, we face different trials, mm-hmm. as we face different temptations, different things that come along in our life. Just last week, I was attacked early in the morning. I woke up and it felt like I had some extra, you know, coughing, some congestion in my chest. Mm-hmm. So I spent, you know, that first hour of the morning after I woke up in scripture. And praying, and it took about an hour before I started, you know, feeling that relief. What it really felt like is that I was, you know, getting pneumonia.
Oh, no.
And I'm familiar with those symptoms because back before I moved to Atlanta, I would get pneumonia twice a year. Around September and the other in March, and it happened every year for 2 to 3 years. And I had walking pneumonia the very last time, and I decided not to, you know, even get treated for it. I exercised my faith at that point and declared and decreed over my life that the promises of healing, you know, from scripture. And that's what I did, you know, last week. I prayed and declared what the word said over my life about healing in my body, and how Jesus has already taken the beating and the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
In order that I might be healed and healthy. So I found 2 to 3 scriptures and just meditated over them, kept saying them until relief started happening, you know, in my body. So that's a recent example of, you know, exercising those faith muscles.
Wow, you are such a brave and courageous person, and I thank you for sharing that with us. You know, I think one of the great mercies of God is that a lot of times things don't happen all at once. Have you noticed that? Like, I mean, sometimes they do, but a lot of times things don't happen all at once. And so when we have opportunities to practice our faith, to work out our faith, to build up our faith, it's a wonderful way to grow, to stretch, for when things do happen that are bigger, perhaps. And so I wondered if there were some scriptures that you rely on, some scriptures that have helped you in your spiritual journey and your growth, some particular favorites. I know it's all good, but we all have our go-to ones.
Like Romans chapter 8. And, you know, that's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But it really depends on, you know, what you're facing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, with healing, there are, you know, several scriptures throughout the Bible. But, you know, it's good to start with Proverbs chapter 4. verse 20. Mm-hmm. It says to let me not misquote anything, so I'm just going to, you know, find it very quickly, if you don't mind.
Yeah, oh, sure, of course.
Read it directly out of the word instead of, you know, paraphrasing this time. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20.
Great.
And out of the New Living Translation, it reads like this. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Mm-hmm. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Mm-hmm. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So that's, you know, one of the ones that I start with. And, you know, whenever you're, you know, reading about healing scriptures, you can remember that it can be health to your whole body.
Yeah.
And this is health, you know, this is medicine without any side effects.
Mm-hmm.
I have a long list of things that, you know, pronounced over the medicines that you hear on TV, you know, because, you know, the word is enough within itself. It's not going to have all those extra side effects.
Yeah.
And then I may turn to Isaiah 53.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
Verse 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. So, you know, that's another favorite. And then I may also use Galatians 3, chapter 13.
Yeah.
Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, but Christ, let's see, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. And to explain that a little bit, when Christ took the curse for us, the curse was poverty, sickness, and death.
Mm-hmm.
And when he, you know, removed that curse, he removed poverty, sickness, and death. That enabled us to receive, you know, wealth, healing, and life. So it was a divine exchange taking place when that was occurring.
Wow. You know, I'm really thankful that you are willing to take this stand for the Word. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I think that the Word is like God's medicine. And, you know, we're not against doctors, we're not against healthcare, we're not against, you know, don't throw your medicine away or anything like that, because we have to locate, you know, each one of our listeners has to locate where their faith is. You know, where is your faith? What is God telling you personally to do? Well, one of the wonderful things about the Word that has blessed me so much in my life is that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the word that you've heard or the word that you've read or the word that's in you. And so that's why it's so important to feed on the Word when nothing's happening, when it's peaceful, sunny day and nothing's happening and you're meditating and feeding on the Word. And then when the storms of life come, you have it in there. It's in there. And, you know, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's John 16:13. And I just really want our friends who believe that the Bible is God's word. This is a time when we really need to feed on the Word of God. Don't wait until things are terrible and it's stormy and you can't pay your bills and everything's falling apart, and then try to find, I mean, if you have to do that, do it. But if you can start building up your faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you can start building up your faith, spending time in God's Word is like spending time with Jesus personally. If Jesus came by the house right now, you would go get your best tablecloth, right? You would get, you'd want to sit down and listen to every word that he said. You would fix him a plate. You would make time. People might text you and say, what do you want to do? And be like, go away. Jesus is over here at the house. I've got to spend time with him. This is wonderful. Well, guess what? You can spend time with him every day just by spending time in the Word. And so it's so wonderful what you're sharing with us today. And, you know, I think sometimes there's this perception that Christians have it all made. Well, of course you pray, everything's going perfectly for you, or you have everything, or, you know, of course you believe God, he's so kind to you. But we go through things too, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I like what you're saying, you know, don't wait until, you know, you go through hard times in order to, you know, get in your Word and, you know, find out what the promises are. I've heard it said before that you don't know what's in you until you're squeezed. It's like, you know, a dish rag or one of those sponges. When you're squeezed, you find out, you know, what's in there. So when that temptation, test, or trial comes, you find out what's in you by what you've been doing on a regular basis. You know, what are you being consistent about? To getting squeezed. So you have the right things coming out, you know, instead of, you know, those curse words coming out when we stub ourselves, we have something else, you know, in us that is able to come out when those tough times, you know, occur.
Yes, amen. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have to be so wise about what we listen to and who we're around, and not judgmental. I don't mean it like that. I just mean, you know, we have to pick what we listen to. You know, we have to pick the music, the art, the entertainment that we consume, because we want to have a strong spirit. And so I wondered, are there any movies or books or TV shows or art, anything like that, entertainment, that really has spoken to you or meant a lot to you?
You know, definitely. If you're paying attention, you know, the Lord will show you, you know, different things in many different ways. Like, you can be meditating on a scripture and then see that same scripture on social media, Instagram or Facebook, and it's just like a confirmation. Recently, you know, I was watching, you know, this movie called Life.
Yeah.
with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you know, a classic film, but in watching that, you know, the Lord brought about several different lessons, you know, that we could learn from, you know, the movie Life, and
mm-hmm.
so we could jot down, you know, some of those things. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share some of it.
Yes, please do. I'm really excited to hear it.
Lessons. Have you seen the movie?
Okay, I just saw it yesterday.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
But I watched it with a toddler and a dog. So maybe you could give us a brief summary or refresher for our friends that haven't seen it or who saw it with lots and lots of things going on.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. You know, some people, you know, may not have seen it. And, you know, that's okay. We'll still be able to, you know, find out some, you know, different lessons that we can learn from it. But I'll give a brief synopsis, you know, based upon what, you know, I had researched. And it says that during Prohibition, a loudmouth Harlem grifter, Ray, which was played by Eddie Murphy, and the no-nonsense Claude, which is played by Martin Lawrence, they team up on a bootlegging mission to Mississippi that could bring them big bucks. You know, but they run into trouble when a crooked lawman hits them with a phony murder charge. Ray and Claude are given life sentences and shipped off to jail, where they must think of a way to prove their innocence and avoid the brutal guards while battling their biggest enemies, their opposing personalities. Mm-hmm. So it's a funny movie, but you know, there's you know, some seriousness, you know, going on. First of all, you know, they're wrongly accused of a murder that they didn't commit. Actually, the police did it and then pinned it on them. And, you know, they had to spend, like I said, they were given life in prison. So the first lesson that I learned, you know, from watching the movie is something that you mentioned already. You know, watch the company that you keep. In the movie, you know, they start off as total strangers.
Mm-hmm.
One is a hustler and a pickpocket, which is Ray. And Claude is not watching his environment, but he gets his pocket picked.
Mm.
We often choose to associate with the wrong people,
mm-hmm.
even if we're related by blood.
Mm-hmm.
They used to say that who you associate it with will determine how far you can go.
Yeah.
Or birds of a feather flock together. How many of us have heard, you know, that saying? I've also heard that if you hang out with a group of millionaires, you'll be the next one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the mm-hmm. company that you keep can have a significant impact on the course of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we have to watch out who and, you know, like you said, what we're allowing to influence our lives. And, you know, be mindful of, you know, our environment. Number two, you have any comments or questions on that one?
I just had a revelation while you were talking. I realized that my core group of friends from, you know, my PhD days, we all have shows. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it. I haven't caught it until just now that we all either have podcasts or radio shows, or we're all somehow on in the media with shows, even though we do different things. Like we have different career tracks and family trajectories and all of that. And so that really, wow, that just drove that home for me. That, you want to hang out with people that are going somewhere and doing something productive. And that really, I hadn't even realized that until you said that. You're right. I mean, you do. You become like what you're around. Bad company corrupts good morals. But, you know, iron sharpens iron. And you really proved that point. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. The second lesson would be to stay on task.
Yeah.
You know, don't get distracted. When they were taking the trip to Mississippi to buy the booze, Ray and Claude were supposed to buy the booze and return to New York to appease, you know, Spanky, who they were indebted, you know, to. But after they bought, you know, what they were supposed to buy, Ray wanted to reward himself early. And he got distracted by some worldly lust, which was, you know, primarily gambling. And, you know, Claude got caught up, you know, with the woman at the time. So often we get distracted by those very same things. You know, money, social media, relationships, and other things are also added to that list. In Mark chapter 4, it talks about the four different types of ground that the word is sown into. There's stony, there's shallow, and the third type is sown, but the cares of this world come in like weeds and choke out what is sown. So that's what happens when we get distracted. Those weeds come in and it tries to choke out the word that is sown in our hearts. So playing cards and romantic relationships have their proper place, but don't let them distract you from the task at hand. So, you know, we see in the movie that they got distracted from what they were supposed to be doing. And it really cost them, you know, big in the end. So be aware of, you know, the decisions that you're making and, you know, try and stay on task.
Wow. That is really important. That is really important. I'm thinking about 1 Kings 13. There is a prophet. God sends him with a message, and he said, you're supposed to go and deliver this message. Don't eat bread. Don't drink water. Just go. Deliver your message. Come on back, right?
Right.
And while he's there, an old prophet comes up to him and says, oh, you know, I'm a prophet too. Come on home with me and have something to eat and hang out. You know, let's be prophets or whatever together. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing, but he does it. He had a direct instruction from God. And he disobeys that because somebody persuaded him to. And the old prophet is the very one who tells him, oh, you know, you disobeyed God. You defied the word of the Lord. You didn't keep the command that God gave you. You came back and you ate bread and you drank water, and he told you not to do that. And so that prophet that disobeyed God is killed by a lion, and he's just laying out in the road. And I hadn't thought about that until you just said that just now, that, you know, that distraction. My granddaddy used to say the devil only had a handful of weapons. He just uses them over and over again. You know, distraction, division, deception, delusion, delay. And he just keeps recycling them, you know. And yet, oh, we can't fall for that. You know, when something is from God, that's wonderful, but we can't. You know, the message we have from God, the call of God on our lives, the instructions of God, we can't disobey those for what looks promising at the time. I think one of the biggest mistakes people always make about the devil, too, is they paint him and he's hideous. You know, he's like, oh, goodness. I mean, if you saw him, you would run away. You'd be like, this is a monster. And I'm not so sure that's really the way it is. I think that angel of light, I mean, I think sometimes the devil looks like everything you think you want.
And don't even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. That prophet, you know, it ended up costing him his life.
Yes.
It may not cost us our life, but it can, you know, derail our purpose for a while.
Our dream.
If we let that distraction in, you know, what is it costing us? Is it costing us our time? Is it costing us money?
Mm-hmm.
What is the real cost, you know, to letting that distraction in the door?
Yeah, and you know, that might not be evident right away. You know, I think you can run on for a long time sometimes. And you may think you got away with it, or, oh, it was all right, or, see, it wasn't that bad. But you don't know what the final consequences will be, where it will show up, and how. You know, this prophet got killed right away, but Balaam, in the book of Numbers, didn't. It looked like, you know, he disobeyed God, and he actually kind of got away with it until he got slain by the sword. So, I mean, I think we can't gamble with that, you know. Obey God. Trust and obey. Willing and obedient, eat the good of the land. Ooh, this is some good, you're doing some good teaching, brother.
Praise God. The next lesson has to do with, you know, whenever you're in prison, you kind of have to establish, you know, that you're not going to be punked, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene when, you know, a big character, Goldmile, asked, you know, for Martin's cornbread.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, are you going to eat your cornbread? And, you know, it's one of the, you know, more famous scenes. Lesson number three is don't let the devil take your cornbread.
Yeah, right.
We have to remember our identity as being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. And we have to establish our rights. The devil will try you, like Goldmile did in the movie, and not only take your cornbread, but eat it in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's supposed to be the opposite way around.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalms 23, it tells us that the good shepherd prepares the table before us in the presence of our enemies. So that means that we're supposed to be eating and enjoying what, you know, God has prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. So let the devil know that there will be consequences and repercussions for taking your cornbread. Kenneth Hagin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was a great teacher and a prophet. He once told of an interaction that he had, you know, with the Lord Jesus.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, he was caught up in a vision, and he said that, you know, Jesus was trying to tell him something, but there was a devil that was jumping around and making noise to where he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And in the story he was telling, he you know, was trying to hear what Jesus was saying, but this devil was making noise. And finally, he rebuked the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And Jesus told him something that was very surprising to him. He said that if you didn't do anything about that, it was nothing that he could have done. And he said, "You know, did I hear you correctly, Jesus?" He said, "You couldn't have done it." He said, "Yeah, I gave you that authority."
Wow.
To rebuke the devil. So if you didn't do anything about that, I couldn't have done anything.
Wow.
So the authority has been given to us in Christ to rebuke the devil, and we have to remember our identity in order to place him under our feet where he belongs.
Oh, wow. Which, you know, Jesus did for us.
Right.
I mean, that's already done. And I'm really interested in this, too, because I met a man who actually had embezzled millions of dollars from a corporation. And then he had turned his life over to Christ and was now speaking and you know, trying to serve the Lord. But the point that I thought really was fascinating that he made was that he didn't steal $1 million all at once. He stole it when he saw the first opportunity, and it was $10. It was $10. And I think that we always think about big temptations, big, you know, the enemy's going to show you something big. We have a mindset of big sins and little sins, which is not accurate. But we don't realize that that first temptation might be something real small. You know, most people probably don't start out to have an affair. They just answer somebody that drops into the DMs on social media. You know, most people probably don't just leave their house and say, "You know what I'm going to do today?" I mean, it starts with little things, little compromises, you know. Okay, yeah, now I gave you the cornbread. Oh, now you want this. Now you want that. Because the enemy is never satisfied. So there's no compromising with him. There's no, you know, let's just do a little crime or a little sin, and then we'll quit. He's going to constantly push you farther and farther and farther into sin. And then abandon you when the consequences come. We actually have to pay the bills with a few commercials, but when we come right back, I hope you'll share some more of these lessons, life lessons, with us. We'll be right back.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan! Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeareBroadcasters.com/hope, furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Peace Corps. Life is calling.
how far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Thank you to all of you who are joining us today. I'm really honored that you're spending this time with us, and I'm honored that our guest is here today. Would you reintroduce yourself to our friends, please?
Yes, ma'am. This is Jacob King coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia.
We're so glad you're here. Thank you so much for joining us today. And you're sharing with us some lessons that you've learned from the movie Life. And so please return to that.
Okay. We've covered a couple so far, and let's do number four.
Okay.
Number four is don't let disappointment derail your faith.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, Ray and Claude had many plans to get out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
They tried appeals. They tried escaping, you know, all together. That kind of reminds me that some of us are prisoners of our mind. Others are prisoners to our routine. Oftentimes, we're living but not alive. What I mean by that is that sometimes we're like The Walking Dead, you know, the other movie that, or TV series that, you know, is pretty popular. We're barreling through life like zombies, or just going through the motions. So we don't want to be prisoners to our routine or prisoners of our mind. You know, always remember, you know, that life is to be lived. That, you know, you don't want to go to work, pay bills, and, you know, go to sleep and then wake up, go to work, pay bills, have some type of, you know, fun in there mixed in, you know, every so often to where you're able to even enjoy, you know, the work that you do. So, you know, keep that in mind too. But in the movie, disappointment almost got the best of Claude. And it cost him his friendship with Ray for several years. When disappointment sets in, a root of bitterness is planted in our hearts. And we're not only mad at each other, but sometimes we get mad at God too. And we can't progress in a state where we have a root of bitterness in our hearts.
That's one of those weapons on my granddaddy's list, disappointment. Because, you know, especially when we had so much hope, or we really wanted it to be this way, or we were praying and believing God, and we were counting on that. Have you ever been disappointed?
Definitely. Just remembering that, you know, it's a part of the process. You know, everything is not going to go your way. You may have certain expectations. You may be believing for a certain thing, but it may not happen the way that you, you know, have planned for it to happen. Just like I have been looking for a house for over a year now. I was renting, you know, a property, and, you know, it was fit just for me. You know, had a four-bedroom, two-bathroom house that I was renting. Well, the owner last year decided that, you know, because of the market conditions, she wanted to sell. So, the opportunity, you know, to purchase, but it was at a price that was above, you know, what I wanted to pay at that time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I began the process of looking for another house. Well, the market got even worse.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
You know, after that time, to where it's totally a seller's market. It's starting to, you know, get better, but the interest rates, they were jacked up, you know, several times, you know, during this last year. And most recently, last week, they raised it another 0.75%. So that had an effect. So, you know, as you can imagine, you know, me looking for a house this whole time, it's been some disappointing factors that were involved. The Lord has blessed, though, to some friends, you know, allowed me to, you know, come and rent a room from them. And, you know, be able to have a place to stay.
Mm-hmm,
you know, sure. But, you know, it's nothing like having your own.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Especially when you're perfect. Yeah, it was perfect for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So, you know, just maintaining my faith and believing through the whole process that, you know, what God has for me is what he has for me.
Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's difficult at times, but you just have to keep a constant reminder that, you know, the disappointment is part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Stay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the most amazing prayers that God taught me to pray about that was, please don't let me miss my miracle because I don't like or recognize the package that it comes in. And so often when I think I'm being disappointed, I'm actually being elevated. And I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I'll just tell it to you so you can laugh real quick. But when I was working on my master's degree, I needed a car. And I found a car for $1,000. So I'm sure you can imagine what kind of specimen this was, you know. And but that's how much money I had, you know, grad students. And I was like, okay, I got to get it. I got to piece it together and all. The nicest thing I can tell you about this car was that it had cold AC. That was like the best thing about it. Everything else, no. I can't, but you were nice and cool. And I was trying to get it. I needed to get a little bit more money, and I couldn't and all that. And finally, when I got it all together, I called the guy, and he said, oh, I sold that yesterday. And I was so sad. I was like, oh, no, I could not get this pitiful car. And I was so disappointed, and I was so sad. Until a very short time later, when I went to my birthday party, and my father had purchased for me a beautiful white Cadillac. And I was busy trying to get a car that was probably a fire trap. It was hazardous and everything else. It had sort of fumes in the inside. And God was trying to already, he already had it covered. God was trying to get me a luxury car. And so often when I'm disappointed, I come back to that, not to be like, wow, yay, but to be like, I had no idea that God was working behind the scenes. God was setting me up for something even better. I was disappointed about that, but God had this. And then the second prayer about disappointment is a little bit different and more serious, but God taught me to pray it, and it was when my brother passed away. Suddenly, unexpectedly, tragically, and I was just, you know, disappointed. I'm like, now we've served you our whole lives. What is even happening here? And finally, I had to say, well, you know what, Lord, obviously I don't understand this, and even more obviously I don't like it, but don't let me fall out with you. Don't let me walk away from you or fall out with you because you are my only hope of making it through this situation. And so when we have those disappointments, we have some that are, you know, okay, all right, but then we have some ooh, that really rock you. And I know you know. And we have to still, even in those moments, just stick with God, get him by the hand. I mean, just hang on in there with him, because he's the only way that you're going to make it through.
Amen. You know, that is such an important lesson, what you said about, you know, the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was saying earlier, you know, we may be expecting, you know, things to happen a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may want, you know, the 5-6, 34, 24, 36 you know, women hand that, you know, our mate may look like, but, you know, God knows what's best for us.
Yeah.
You know, it may not look like the packaging that we're expecting, but can we trust him enough to bring about, you know, exactly what we need?
Yes. Thank you for saying that, because I think that's helping a lot of people right now. Timing, too. A lot of times when we're disappointed, it's because things didn't happen on our timetable. You know, we thought we'd have this by 30, or we thought we'd have this by yesterday, or we thought we'd go here this year, or we thought we'd do that, you know, before we turn, I don't know, 25 or something. And if it doesn't happen, then people become disappointed, not realizing that God exists outside of time. He's not limited by time. He's not, you know, he doesn't wear a watch. He doesn't carry a calendar. He just has due season. And in
right.
due season, you reap if you faint not. And, you know, I just so often I see people and they're disappointed. And I just, you know, you're not lost. You're just early. You know, just hang on in there. I'm telling you, God has great things for you. He has great things for you. All right. This is really good. We're getting some great ideas, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to make sure you're able to share with us anything else you want to share with us.
Sure. I'm on the last point that I wanted to, you know, or the last lesson that I wanted to give, and it's right in line with, you know, what we were just talking about. Number five would be to stay consistent and never give up. In the beginning of the movie, the two characters are given a life sentence, but they consistently hope to get out of jail the whole time. Now, after serving more than 40 years, like you were saying, you know, God doesn't have a timetable.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't wear a watch. But after serving more than 40 years of time, they eventually found a way out and escaped. How many of us would have given up earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things happen instantly, or what we believe for is given as a miracle. But if not, don't ever give up on a God-given word or dream, even if it takes a long time. Stay in faith until you see what you are believing for.
That really resonates with me, because there are some things that happen in life that can feel like a life sentence. They're not, you know, necessarily legal or prison, but they can feel like, oh, you'll have to deal with this or go without this or not have this for the rest of your life. And, you know, I had one of those. Doctors told me I would never have children. And all I ever wanted was to be a mother and a wife and have a big family. And that's all I ever wanted. And I remember telling the doctor said, oh, no, you know, you're not going to be able to do this. And I said, but that's all I've ever wanted. And she looked at me so cold and so mean. And she said, well, I suggest you find something else to want.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, it was like the Spirit of God just whoops. It was like Jesus has entered the chat, you know, like Jesus mm-hmm. had entered, and just was like, mm-mm, no, only God can say no. That's what came up in my spirit. Only God can say no. And it was a few years. And I I had birthday parties for other people's children, and I was the best auntie and godmom you could imagine. And, you know, we were good godparents. We were, you know, we did everything we were supposed to do to be a blessing to other people and their children. And then God gave us baby, and he's worth the wait. Oh, he's worth the wait. Never been so happy as I am now. And I just want to say that to somebody. You've gotten a medical diagnosis, or you've gotten a bankruptcy, or maybe you got an eviction, or maybe, and it just seems like a life sentence, like your life's just never going to be what you hoped it would be. Take that to God. Tell him how you feel. He can handle it. But ask him to show you what's the path now, you know? I was a foster mom. I did a lot of other things that were a blessing to me and blessing to children. And then God has rewarded us. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And so
Amen.
I understand. If you have something in your heart, you have something in your mind, and you have wanted this so much, ask God. Talk to God. What's the strategy here? What are we going to do about this, Lord? How are we going to do this? And I'm telling you, he has some good plans for you. Plans for good and not evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope. He does. He loves you. He loves you so much.
Amen.
What else do you want us to know?
What a testimony. That was, you know, pretty much the five that I wanted to share. There are plenty of other lessons that we can learn from the movie, but I was hoping that, you know, these five would be relatable. You know, even if you haven't seen the movie, you can relate to some of these lessons. So, you know, those were the things, you know, watch the company that you keep, you know, stay on task. Don't let the devil take your cornbread. Don't let disappointment derail your faith, and stay consistent. Never, ever, 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 ever give up.
And, that's especially meaningful coming from you. Why?
Because, you know, I'm believing God to walk again, not only to walk, but to run. And, you know, it's been a long time since my car accident, you know, 31 years.
Wow.
You know, I'm still maintaining belief and faith that God is able, and that he is also willing to do what he said he was going to do.
Yes. God keeps his promises. God can be trusted. And you have really shown that to us through your life, through your example, and today through your teaching. And so, you know, I hope that you'll have opportunities to speak to folks, you really need your own podcast, you know, but to have opportunities to speak, to have opportunities to teach, to have opportunities to write some books and get them published, publish some books. So how can folks contact you? I mean, we don't know who's out there listening, but we know God has good plans.
Well, I'm reworking my website, you know, now, but for now you can contact me through old-fashioned way. Telephone or email. The number I can be reached at is area code 614-769-8850. And the email is Jacob, the letter K, III, at yahoo.com.
Perfect.
And I appreciate you so much for having me, you know, Don. I think that you're a treasure. And you know, appreciate the person and the purpose that you have.
I appreciate that. Thank you. All glory to God. But I sure am glad he lets me do such wonderful things. Thank you so much for joining us today. You're a blessing to me and to many others. I know for many of our friends that listen, this is a little different, right? But we just wanted to take a few minutes and build up your faith. You know, we'll talk about some more indigenous things later, but right now we just wanted to take a few minutes and just make sure that we are building ourselves up on our most holy faith. And thank God for Jacob King, who has helped us to do that. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we will see you next time.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.